part of my training when I was in graduate school was to study Jungian psychology. My curiosity back in those days was how that approach to psychology really helped me understand the inner workings of our own person, our individual personality, and how it connects to the life of faith. So it's really out of that orientation that I got into the whole business of trying to understand what's going on inside. And part of my work in graduate school was also to go through some analysis myself. And so my own dream life began to say some things to me that made some sense, I did a little bit more studying about what dreams are about and what they are trying to do. So it's out of that context that I'm here to do some just sharing with you and talking with you about dreams. And I'm not sure what all your questions are, or just at what place we ought to try to connect or zero in. Does anybody want to start? It's obviously an interest of yours because I'm first of all surprised how many people showed up tonight. But seriously, does anybody want to get started about what are the kind of questions that brought you here, or curiosity, or anybody want to get that started? Because I really don't know where to got to connect with where you're at. If somebody could give me a starter, I would appreciate that.
Well, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream.
That's true. Or you may want to talk in a sense different between a dream and a vision.
Oh.
Yeah, maybe a little different.
Paul
had a vision too, where there was profound kind of differences. And I think there may be a little difference. In the sense of what visions there are in dreams. Most often when I talk about dreams, it's or work at my own kind of dreams, it is that which comes to you in your sleep mostly, and is that unconscious material that is communicated to you that you're not really dealing with on a conscious level. Now, most of us, before we go to really fall in deep sleep, you may find yourself letting stuff go by from the day, kind of reminiscing or processing through kind of what happened, and you visualize a lot of stuff. That's not really technically necessarily dream stuff. Or you may have a book on to some kind of picture that stands in your mind. I would say that's more like the kind of vision thing that kind of stands out. But for me, what I find most often is dream stuff and most of us dream a lot. There's not a whole lot of technical scientific data about how much you dream, because it's very difficult to get. But there is that. There's those powerful dreams that I think for most of us, if we're at all trying to be in touch with what's going on inside of us, you kind of give yourself permission to really take a look at what is your unconscious trying to tell you that you're not dealing with on a conscious level. That's mostly what. What are those kind of dreams?
An idea that's new to me about dreams is to not only just try to remember your dreams and interpret what the dreams are, but to become more involved with working with your dreams. For instance, I have seen myself a lot of times when a dream gets scary, tone the dream down or walk away turn the dream off, stop the dream. And I'm kind of aware that I'm doing it because I remember when I wake up, oh, that's right, well, then I just stopped it.
Yeah. And, do you hear what you're saying?
And the new idea that I'm hearing from different sources is we can become more involved in our dreams.
Yeah, absolutely.
To work those things through. So right. In a way, you're
I guess I don't understand what you're talking about.
You can almost tell yourself what to dream about before
tell
you go
to yourself
to
what to dream about. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, there's two different things. Well, there's a sense in which, while the dream is going on, you know, sometimes do you have a sense of being really present there?
Well, I thought I heard her say that she was actually controlling her dream.
Well, there's a difference between controlling it and maybe directing it. You know, there's sometimes when you're in the middle of a dream and it's pushing you over the edge and you want to frighten, you don't want to say, don't go any further. You know, you get that kind of panicky feeling and you wake up.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Let me try to get an illustration. Sometimes when the common death resurrection symbol, for example, when you may be having a dream where you're kind of someone's chasing you or you're falling off the edge. It's a pretty common symbol, but what may be going on is that there's a part of how you view yourself in reality that is a role that you've had or so forth that really has to die. And you don't want to let go of it. But there's also forces inside of you that says, hey, man, you got to let go of it. And so sometimes the first time you may have a dream about this, but you know, and you may be swallowed up by something or hard to tell what it is, but there's a kind of a death picture in it. When the first time that hits, it may be scaring you to death and say, my God, I'm going to die. No? It's what's going on inside you that's going on. And the next time you may have to start thinking about what is this trying to, you know, get at me in my real life, how I view myself. The next time you may have that dream, you may want to have to say, well, let her go, man. You know, let it die. Okay. You may discover that there's a symbol about something new life being coming out in your dreams, which says that there's something new being born. You say, which may be a little plan, all kinds of symbols that give an indication of something else that's going on inside. But in some sense, you have to look at that dream like it's a picture that your unconscious is painting for you, but it's all what's going on inside you. And that's basically, I think, what you're saying. I think when I work with people, one of the things that I try to teach them is to make friends with what's going on inside us. I have a little bias about the Freudian, you know, hangover. I think it's a hangover. You know, that says that our unconscious is this abyss from which nothing but good can come. You know, this yet that's gonna, if you let that happen, you know, you go. Everything would go bananas. I don't think that's very, very healthy. I don't think it's very good theology either. You know, that if we understand that God is in the, is also part of our inner world and our unconscious, but just another way of saying that, helps us to get in touch with, from a deeper place, what God might be trying to say to us about our own wholeness. Maybe stuff that we don't like to see or don't want to deal with, because we may have gotten the impression that from how we view expectations of ourselves, that we better keep that stuff all hidden and buried. But as soon as you start doing that, that's going to come on stronger in some symbols in your dreams, probably. Because it's a part of who you are. But that's a good point. I mean, yeah. Dreams are about you. And it is you talking to yourself.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned symbols. Are symbols something which are pretty widely spread? I mean, the same kinds of symbols recur in different people from different places and cultures over and over again? Or what can you say about symbols in dreams?
Well, mean, that's such a wide field. Like studying theology and first really started wrestling with the distinction between sign and symbol was very important. And I'm glad you asked that question, because that's a very important distinction. Most of us have been raised to think in signs, that the sign is something that points to something very specific. You used to be able to say a Coca-Cola sign is only one thing. Now it doesn't work anymore. Now you have to say, you're talking about the classic one, you're talking about the new one. But a sign is something that points to something very specific. There's only one thing of it. All right? And so often, how we use ideas, and we try to make them very specific, we're gonna do violation of what the message is. A symbol is an art form or image that calls for something more inside of you, calls you into it. Let me try to illustrate. Well, we've been talking about here this week. If you'd say the church as a sign, what you'd be talking about? Probably the brick and mortar, you know, the building, very tangible, boom. But if you talked about the church as a symbol, what would you be talking about? People that you're part of, you know, or cross. If you're talking about cross, you're talking about that one specific piece of wood on a hill, all right? But a symbol of a cross is something that contains, you know, connects us from deep inside with all kinds of things. Now, I think that the powerful thing about symbols and dreams is that I think our unconscious is good enough to us that the kind of things that we've been informed about are images that we are somewhat familiar with in our consciousness are also the kind of symbols or the symbols that are in our dreams. Yeah. Very rarely do you get from other cultures or images of stuff that animals and things like that you haven't seen. I think, is that the kind of question you're asking?
Yeah, I had heard some things about symbols appearing cross-culturally, you know.
Oh,
horses,
yeah,
having
true.
Certain meanings, elephants having certain meanings, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, see, I'd be very leery about saying to someone, this is what it means.
Yeah.
Because that already says you're trying to make it into a sign. Mm-hmm. And whatever that symbol is, or symbols are in your dreams, it is what that calls forth from you in your consciousness. Mm-hmm. Is really what the important content is. Yeah. I mean, there's some very basic kind of symbols. I should say, first of all, that most all your dreams are about what's going on inside of you. And so if you have a dream that puts you inside of a building, for example, then it probably says that you're pretty well comfortable inside of how you view yourself, you know, the picture of your own self. And so that's, you know, there's just some basic kind of images like that. Question.
Mm-hmm. They say that, or it's been said that you dream, but you what if you don't ever remember dreams, or very seldom remember them? Is there any technique you can use to remember them?
Well, a couple simple things. One would be it's much harder to remember your dream once you get out of bed. Seems strange. So if you really want to work at remembering your dreams, particularly if there's something that's you're working on, try to get in touch with yourself, I think there's a way of telling yourself, you know, telling yourself deep inside, you know, that you're really looking. And you may invite that through prayer. Then have a pad next to your bed. Yeah. And, you know.
Wake up enough to jot right? down what
yeah.
it's
but
about.
But don't, I mean, it's an amazing thing. Once you get out of bed and, you know, and wake up too much, you won't yeah. remember much.
Right,
but
yeah.
if you just jot down the basic thing, then you're going to have a, you know, then put it back, you may dream some more. The next morning you have to say, what was that dream about? You say, well, yeah. But just a little thing.
Yeah. Or else if you tell somebody about the dream too, right away in the morning.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
helps remember.
Yeah. If you carry it that far.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
I was yeah. taking measure very early.
Yeah.
yeah. But if you can have it, you know. Once you've got the dream, then you can work with it. So, yeah. Some of that may be to, if there's a particular strong image in it that you want to try to get inside of more, you may just want to, have you ever tried to journal or just to kind of write?
No.
It's another way to let whatever that, what do you think? Ask your dream, what is the message now of being inside of this room or whatever it is? And just let yourself write. Mm-hmm. Because the message is to what's going on in your life consciously that you may not want to look at or afraid to or whatever. But that's where the intentions is headed.
Harold?
Yes. Yeah.
It seems to me I would find it awfully easy to trick myself in interpreting my own dreams.
Yep.
And it strikes me as a kind of a dangerous thing to do on your own. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you, I mean, how do you go about finding somebody to, you know, that you can trust to help
you
with
that? Yeah, I don't think there's any question about it. You know, that most of us have not a lot of background, first of all, to deal with what's going on inside, let alone help us do some reflecting on what is going on inside, maybe in the real world. And it's good to have someone who has an understanding to just talk that through with. Yeah. But once you have some handles on some things, I think then you can work it by yourself. But before I work with any kind of dreams, I have to do some talking about what's going on in your life. And it's probably a message that is very obvious, but you're not willing to take a look at it. So you have to kind of, if you were willing to take a look at it, you wouldn't need to be dreaming. Yeah.
I was
going to
say that symbols are very personal, and that I've heard it said in many places that you are the only person that can really interpret your own symbols. Someone
Fine,
can point
yes.
out patterns and things to you,
yeah.
but you've got to figure out what something means to you
yeah.
yourself.
Can't you, Ozzel, what right series of dreams ought that the dream for 25 days you sit down and begin to analyze other dreams and pick up some symbols that always occur in each dream? Can't you just pick that up and maybe put it over here and try to pick up they make the dream together.
And that's what you're doing. Yeah.
You know what I'm
getting
at?
Yeah. I needed to have somebody to help me begin to even understand. I didn't understand when I started what symbols were, because I tried to take everything literally, and I didn't make any sense. Until I had somebody help me get a look at my own self in a deeper way and my own, how I viewed myself in real life, I had never really done that kind of reflection. Let me put it this way. I think, well, this may be generalizing, and I'll just share kind of how it was for me. The way I grew up, I spent so much energy trying to figure out what my folks expected, you know, and then my family, and, you know, I tried very hard to kind of measure up. And I caught myself, without knowing it, where I was present as Harry was kind of out here somewhere. I was kind of looking at myself, and I was probably, I had all kinds of expectations of what I thought Harry should be, but I was really external, if you know what I mean. Does that make sense to you? Huh? Yeah. You look at yourself through the mirror, and in some senses, you look at yourself through the eyes of other people. It is a real trick to begin to trust looking at yourself from inside. And if you are looking at your dreams from out here, you know, looking at symbols, and you're trying to say, oh, what the hell do those symbols expect of me? You know, all outside. It didn't make any sense. You know, do you hear what I'm saying, Ben? So this fellow that helped me began to get myself centered to what, how do I see this from inside, and give me some handles, then I could do some work with it. But having a sense of authority, your own center, if you will, and how you say it, but where you really experience from inside you. Until you're at that place, and they have a sense of reading it from there, they don't make a whole lot of sense. I mean,
Dreams need to be worked with over a period of time? You know, I can remember a few vivid dreams from my life, from here, and there. Yeah. You know, really important ones to me. Never spent much time interpreting. Yeah. I can remember them.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm just thinking that maybe isn't so wise to just look at one here and one there. Maybe just you need to be pretty consistent. Mm.
See, I myself, I think there are dream junkies, if you know what I mean. Yeah, they're kind of into a thing, and they spend practically most of their energy waiting for the next dream the next night, so they try to figure that one out. You know what I mean?
Narcissistic.
Well, I mean, people can get into that kind of. I think you can get over balance with a lot of things like that.
But how do you know there's got to be balance there?
Sure.
Between taking it seriously and maybe not so.
I'm very reluctant to kind of give any formula for anybody. I haven't talked about this with my experience and how I work with some other people, but my own experience for me is that. I can tell from my dreams if I'm really out of sync, badly out of sync, you know, then there's something that's going to hit me and it's powerful, and I got to work with some stuff, not just my dream, but I'm not in sync with my own self and what's going on. It's a kind of a safety valve for me.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
So for you, once in a while.
Yeah,
just to take.
I may hit a real hammer about every 2 weeks or so, but I'm aware that I'm dreaming some other things. But now it's like the old story about the jackass that gets a 2x4 across the eyeballs to get his attention. It's something like that once in a while. Yeah.
That just occurred to me. Could it be possible that maybe instead of trying to figure out what our dreams are all about, it's more of an inside feeling, kind of a feeling rather than a thought wave pattern. In other words, it's kind of like having another sense, like when you know that you shouldn't go someplace because of something, you don't know why, But then later on you find out, well, maybe somebody had an accident in an airplane or something. It's one of those senses that you have that and you really just know that that's the way it shouldn't go. And maybe that's the same thing with a dream. It's telling you something and maybe it's a feeling that you have through the dream. That
could be what it is.
Sense about yourself.
Yeah. And sometimes dreams can be very reassuring, and they are sometimes for me. If I'm really in a state and on an edge, I pay attention to those.
I really do. Yeah. For a long time, I said, dreams are dreams, and I just kind of passed by them. I
think you have to take, you know, what you're saying to yourself seriously. And that's how you have to think of it. It's like there's something inside you that's painting a picture for you. That's really an art form. And if you've written a poem or painted a picture as an artist, and that's how you want to think of it, you know, take a look at it. Because it's going to say something to you. And many times artists, you know, they don't really say, you know, understand what all they said. And other people look at it, but this is for you. Yeah. I think that's an important way to begin to think of it. Now you can get fixated by looking at, oh, it is a marvelous picture. Okay, that's not the purpose of it. It's trying to tell you something. And I think that's the main thing I would say. And if there's a powerful thing inside of it that you're not sure you're hearing, then you may want to find somebody to help. This is what am I missing? And you probably know it if there is. And it was for me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've been fortunate enough to have experienced some dream work with someone who was knowledgeable in the field. And it always seemed to me kind of miraculous when I would look at a dream that I couldn't find any meaning to it. It didn't seem to flow, and it didn't make any sense on any practical level. But it just seemed so miraculous to work it out and see how it related to my conscious life and what it had me look at that I would have never guessed on my own. But I just keep thinking what handiwork that God created in us, not only our physical selves, but then to tie the emotional and physical selves together with our dreams.
What about daydreams?
I think they're kind of fun.
Do I have any connection?
I think daydreams are more guided imagination. Yeah. Daydreams. I think it's okay. You know.
Teachers are always telling their children, oh, they're daydreaming. Pay attention.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's probably not a person in this room that doesn't still do that. Yeah, sure. I mean, we're all imaging all the time, no question about it. Every time you hear a word, picture's going on in your mind. That's basically what it is. And, you know, you may go off on a little trip, you know, with some of those pictures.
Do they say that we see 42 million? Could you a day that we thought it's in the mind?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I for one don't think we spend enough time being aware of how much is going on inside of us. Not even remotely.
What happened if you never dream?
Pardon?
What happened if you are not aware of dreaming for 2 weeks?
I don't think there's any particular thing to worry about.
You're still dreaming.
Yeah, you're still alive and well. You got to wake up in the morning.
But what does that mean? That everything is going really well inside?
You can't make any generalizations one way or another about that. You just can't. Yeah. It's really
think some dreams do really stick in your mind, like you said. Mm-hmm. I can remember dreams from way back in my childhood, mm-hmm. and real distinctly mm-hmm. why do some really stick out like that and others.
I don't know. No, but it's obvious.
Maybe reversing them. You know, you kind of reverse them in your mind each time.
If it's a reoccurring thing, then it's probably something you need to really take a pretty good look at. Yeah. Yeah. No question.
I wonder what the phenomenon was back in the Old Testament when people had, like kings would have, or famous people would have dreams, and then have somebody else who was close to God, you know,
sure.
supposedly interpret that dream.
I think one thing that's impacted us is that we have, in our culture, more coming at us in images consciously than you would in a, you know, if we all just lived out in the woods and in the country and didn't have advertising and work with all kinds of people and so forth. The kind of information and images that we have to process is just incredible. And that's why it's so much more important to take seriously what's going on inside of us. And because we're so bombarded externally. And for us to have so much coming at us that you have to react to and so forth has its impact on how comfortable we are from inside of ourselves. I mean, our push to live externally is just incredible. Yeah. I mean, when people lived more isolated and so forth, there was much more time to reflect and to have images from inside. And now we have to set apart time to do that. Question?
Do you think that most dreams bear some kind of symbols or express something about our life? Or are there dreams that just kind of, just almost like fantasy, we almost conduct for ourselves? That's why I asked about the long-term dream, you know, collecting them over a period of time as opposed to just taking one here and there, because I'm wondering how much symbolism is involved on a regular basis, you know.
Well, I guess I'd have to say out of my experience with working with my own and other people's is that every dream you remember has something to say to you. It's not just an empty exercise. Now, some have more impact than others, but there's no question about every dream that you recall has a word in it. Yeah. It's like nothing you experience is an empty experience. And to be conscious of it, to be reflective of it, draws a meaning out of it. And particularly if there's an unconscious message that you even recall in a dream. To me, that's significant enough, especially if you wake up in the morning, it's enough to where you want to write it down, super. It's worth chewing that. That's a question.
The trouble is, though, you get so wide awake writing, you couldn't go back to
sleep. Well, I don't know, have you done much of this kind of thing?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You don't want to necessarily write down all the details, but just get the major flow of it. I mean, just try it and see how much that you recall the next day. Yeah, just sketch it down and put it back, and you may go right back to sleep and dream some more. It's not necessarily all the detail. Some of that event is important, but. I mean, if you're getting that into it, then there's something really cooking. You better write it down.
I haven't done it too much, but I have woke up, get and got back to sleep and picked up a dream with it's phenomenal. I had to wake up for something and left my dream, and then the moment I fall back to sleep, it continued like I never left it.
Yeah. How about you?
Well, like if you dream about something maybe like you were doing like 30 years ago or something. Now, does that have something, is there something about that maybe?
Time frame?
Yeah. Thinking, why would you continually dream about things that happened?
Oh, if it was a series of things?
No, just like maybe someplace you worked or something.
Yeah.
I wonder, why you keep dreaming.
Again, it's difficult to respond to that
in terms of
what are the circumstances that are present that puts that into a different context.
Why would that affect, now? I mean, why would this do?
Yeah. It's hard to tell.
Like people have been in the war or something, wake up and have driven up and things like that. I wonder if it has something.
The thing to remember is that it's about stuff that's going on inside of you.
Yeah, I know.
Okay?
That's what I was just saying when you said that.
Well, and so it's hard for me to respond to that without pressing for some more details, and I want to do that because I don't want to get into that kind of a sharing thing.
No.
But in some ways, it's maybe hard for us to realize that there's a lot of different parts of us that are very alive and well, from way back, that are still a part of our experience that we carry around ourselves. For instance, this summer I had an experience of getting in touch with something that happened to me 45 years ago when I was 5 years old that came out of a study of some parables that I got in touch with, the wounded part in the Good Samaritan story. And I got dreaming about, got in touch with some stuff that happened to me when I was 5 years old. Mm-hmm. Now to say that, see, that didn't come out of me in a dream.
No.
But because there's something that triggered in a study, and I began to do some work with it in journaling and so forth, there it came, and then I stimulating some of that stuff. I had some dreams, that made that put that in. So let me try to say it this way. Henry Nouwen wrote a book. It's been quite a while ago, but. Remembering, in the sense that there's different parts of us. There's something we're always taught now. You should forget. Well, in some ways, what our dream life is about is that we're all struggling within the grace of God to really accept our own experience, and so it's important for us to, in fact. Try this. I'll use this when I talk about the Eucharist, but instead of trying to bury and disassociate yourself from your own experience, it's like dismembering your own experience and dismembering your body. And to wholeness, to be whole is to kind of really remember or take into yourself all of your experience. Now, when you're working with someone and they have some very painful experiences, there may be a time period where they want to forget because it's too painful. But I will dare say that there will come a time when you have to come back and deal with that to really accept from a different place what in fact happened.
And maybe like in your dreams.
And so there may be a symbol of something. It will put you on the edge about saying, hey, you're going to have to start taking a look at that again. And it may be something that at the time was so painful you couldn't look at it. At least chose not to.
I had a roommate in college. grab a gun and put his uniform on like he was in Vietnam, and he would just wake me up and tell me to get ready because there's an attack going on.
Yeah.
I mean, the aspects. Yeah. Did that have anything to do with?
Probably. Yeah. I mean, there's, well, that gets to be very complicated and very, deep therapy is really tough.
You're suggesting then that our subconscious is at work in the redemption of our person then? You say it, we should see it as a friendly thing?
Yeah.
What about sleepwalking and dreaming? They would meet me on the stairs and tell me somebody wanted to see me, you know.
Yeah.
And we couldn't get down, he didn't remember it the next morning.
Yeah, that's a very delicate thing. And I have really not done a lot of work with it. But that's a
they
pretty
you
fragile
wake him up, but he always just went back in and didn't remember.
Yeah, I believe it alone. Yeah, but I think there's a difference between, if you say subconscious and what I would, from Jungian, or I say collective unconscious, which is it was peculiar to Carl Jung. He would say that, or against Freud, basically said that your unconscious was the accumulation of what you experienced and then repressed, basically. And so you didn't really start any kind of unconscious stuff until you were maybe in your mother's womb, okay? Now, Jung said that, and that's what they parted, that, and that's where, I should say more about Freud. Freud then was very concerned about early development, you know, that kind of stuff, that thing about Freud. But Jung said that when you're born, we are born with a collective unconscious. There is in us, from birth, those images or archetypes that are common to all people. And when I first worked with that, it was exciting to me because all of a sudden the images and symbols of our faith, like the image of God, it's not something that is dependent on what we are taught by necessarily people to respond to God. What Jung, suggests is that the image that when we think about God, the capacity to respond to that comes from deep inside us. Does that make sense? So if we're going to understand symbols, when you see a cross, Where does the content of that come from to respond to that cross from deep inside? It's not the accumulation of what you heard your parents say, or the pastor say, or the Sunday school teacher say. It is a living God inside, I think, through your collective that allows you to respond to that. So that as Elmer was reading it tonight, that groaning from deep within. Yeah, who taught you to groan like that? I think it is from that center, of the collective that is common to all people and to a collective unconscious that I think includes also the creation. So I think to take that seriously is the capacity then to call forth, our own fullness. Also the image of Christ in us is the same.
Yeah. There are those, however, who reject that, who respond differently.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that say about the collective unconscious? Does the collective unconscious then also contain that kind of response? Negative response?
How do you mean?
Well, for instance, those who, for whom the cross does mean nothing but hypocrisy or fakery or...
Oh, I don't necessarily want to get into a debate about that because what people have experienced in consciousness about the cross has been that for a lot of, I mean, for the
for the cross in a lot of history pages mm-hmm. is an atrocity, you know. So if you want to get into the consciousness, but I'm talking about in the deep unconscious, that is the most profound symbol of God and humanity coming together. And it's really not just in the Christian tradition.
I guess, you know, I'm not wanting to debate, as you put it, but to get some feeling for what kinds of things are in this unconscious. If we were all aware of whatever was all in the collective unconscious, would we all respond similarly?
Oh, no. That's why it's the peculiar individual response that is every individual. But the capacity to respond, mm-hmm. is a collective. Yeah.
Okay.
It's the collective does not conform to anything.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
No.
There was a specific content to the collective.
No. Is this what you came to talk about?
You mentioned about the real world. Is this also part of the real world?
I think so. Yeah.
I've always been resistant to even look into Jung's theory because if I would read it, well, maybe I would understand, but maybe you could clarify more about the collective consciousness. I was resistant to the idea that someone can tell me what things are in my psyche without knowing anything about them.
That's a distortion because Jungian nobody would even come remotely and try to attempt to tell you what's in you. No. The only point I'm trying to make is that from Jung's work with a lot of people is that there is a capacity, and basically he came across it through some dream research, is that there was no way that some people could be present and have seen some things. They're just not possible. But in their dreams, they had these pictures of places, you know, that were of this particular place, which he began to theorize. And there must be some kind of collective, resource that goes in between us that we're born with, that is more than what we're taught from our experience. Now, if you want to another way of thinking about it, and this makes some difference, is what gives you the capacity to respond to mom and dad? Does someone teach you to say mama, or is it just the words that is it because mama says, now say mama, say mama, say mama? Or is there in us the need to, from deep inside, to experience mom and dad?
They tell of infants who were just real distraught if they, for instance, had a blind parent and the parent didn't look at them and they were trying to respond until they could, somebody taught the blind parent to, face the child. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, what Jung suggests is that we call forth the person of each one of us. And I guess what the images are. We have to take much more seriously what is really going on in us as a way of being full.
They really wanted to respond but didn't find the pace in the voice.
Dreams.
And somebody mentioned sleepwalking too, I recall it. Yeah. A youngster I took care of who came in, one evening, was in the hospital several days, but the first night he was there, he got out of bed over the top of the crib, and all he was maybe 10, 12 years old, and walked rather rapidly clear to the other end of the hall. He didn't remember doing it, but the strange part about it was that he had a considerable pain in one leg, but none of that when he was walking. think. He didn't remember doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And he figured he couldn't have because that leg hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Be interesting to work with that one.
With all
I had the funniest feelings up in Canada when I was at the camping as a little lady slept in a tent with a friend of mine. He was a very good friend of mine. I woke up and he had a knife over me.
Good friend of yours.
And I tipped the knife off and oiled him back into the sleeping bag. And he went, and in the morning, I said, Larry, what are you doing? And he had no idea that he was doing it. I like to play around with that big boy.
I'll leave it alone.
I'm traveling, well, after a person's been asleep and then you wake up and you wonder, well, where you're at, even after you've been traveling and you come to your own home and your own bed, well, then you wonder, well, where are you
at?
Yeah.
That's a weird feeling. First time it happened to me when I started traveling quite a bit, wake up in, you know, most motels or hotel rooms look the same. Wake up one morning and say, where am I?
Yeah. That happened to me in Colorado. I went to the lobby and said, can you tell me where I am? And he just looked at me like,
one of the human aspects I've heard about, probably more often than others, is the animus figures that appear in dreams. And wondering if for a man, for instance, for whom that figure appears as a woman in the dream, if every woman who appears in a man's dream has to do with the anima figure, or if there are other archetypes she may be fitting, and, you know, vice versa for a woman. What is this all about?
Jung had the theory that in each of us there is the male and female counterpart. For men, classically, the male is the rational, more the macho. Primarily the rational side of the brain, where the feminine side in other words, if you have in dreams pictures of women, it's an attempt to get in touch with the feeling side of a man. And most often, this is the side, the part of us as men that we in our society have had by the least permission to express or to accept of ourselves. And the reverse is true for women. Sometimes women have a hard time to accept in their real life, their external conscious life, that what they think and their skills and organization and so forth are a part of their life. Images of men in the minds of or dreams of women may be an affirmation or the fact that you're not accepting that part of your own inner life. But those two images are there. It gets a little bit more complicated, you know, in certain situations. But to press that further, you'd have to know some circumstances out of which mm-hmm. that dream has come. But animus is a very strong part of our development. There's also the shadow images that Jung has. That means that those parts of you that
as I was describing, that you want to hold up when, you know, when you're pleasing mom and dad and you're doing pretty good in school and so forth, and that angelic part. The reverse of that would be the shadow side. You know, that side of you says that you're really a dummy. You know, or that part of you that says, you think you're so good, but if they really knew what you were really going on inside you, what would they do? You know, it's, so you have also symbols of the shadow inside some dreams. If you're not in touch with that part of you that is not so nice. And so people, if you have a strong need to be a very good, conforming person to other people's expectations, and you're not accepting, you know, some of the more negative parts of yourself, you may have some dreams that have shadow images.
What kind of images? Is there any generalization for those kind of images at all?
Usually you can recognize those pretty quickly.
Would you say dreams in which you find yourself doing things that in your conscious life you would not, actions you would not perpetrate, would that be part of the shadow?
Could be, yeah, depends. Depending on your own look at that. If it's stuff that would you say, oh my gosh, yeah. It's probably a part of you that you're not really accepting as really being a part of it.
I suppose if for instance you appear in some heroic role in a dream, might that also be some part of you that you're not accepting?
That's right. Yeah.
Can you speak to the kind of action or the kind of follow through in your conscious life to messages you might? Would you say it's mostly an awareness thing?
Well, I think it gets back to the person who's having the experience and whose reality we're talking about. You know, and where that choice maker in you is. Yeah. I mean, you can choose to say, that's not me. You know? That's good. That's good. Think about that kind of stuff. You can make all those kind of choices. You know? But the dream is trying to tell you that in reality you're not really checking it. So you have to, that dream may hammer you in some other kind of ways. So you have to make choices about it. How you then choose and work with it, that's, yeah. Dreams don't dictate to you. No, that's just not how it is. No, it's a message. You're in charge, it's your stuff.
The book is being written for you in the dream.
No, you write it.
Yeah. When you were asleep.
Yeah. But it's not somebody else writing it. The important thing is that it's you. It's a part of you that... Well, if you want to talk some more about dreams, you can talk to each other.
It's all in the dream.
It's all in the dream.